I'm Shauna Van Bogart, and this is Just Being. Sylvie DiGesto is a professional keynote speaker and author, speaking to audiences on how to lead better, sell faster, and persuade instantly. I have been an audience member of one of her keynotes, and I love listening to Sylvie talk.
It's a mix of a Spanish grandmother, an Italian grandfather, and a French father, and an Austrian mother.
Sylvie came to the U.S. in 2011. She had an established career in Europe, and there she was, a first-time mom, on a plane with a newborn in her lap, leaving behind her friends and family and nearly 2 years of corporate experience to fulfill her childhood dream of living in the United States. Sylvie is a phenomenal speaker. Her list of clients and organizations is long and incredibly prestigious. American Airlines, Amex, Bloomberg, Hilton, Nickelodeon, even the Air Force. She is built to speak, and anyone that has listened to her knows that. But what most people don't know is that she had a lot of insecurity about this. A lot of fear about whether or not she could, in fact, make this dream of living in the U.S. and make this dream of speaking professionally work.
So I myself, talking about that fear, was very worried when I entered that industry that with that accent, right, with that mess coming out of my mouth, I would have never, ever had a chance to be successful here.
Sylvie lived in New York City and was often called by the media to participate in news segments related to politics.
One day years ago, somebody called me from a big TV station and they asked me if I could come into the studio and comment on a governor, so somebody who is in politics, a public persona and his image. And I said, oh yeah, of course, because you know, as a business owner, entrepreneur, you take any media opportunity that you have. And afterwards, they invited me again and again and again, and I became part of somehow a show on a weekly basis. And it was kind of a political show in the evening. And when I watched it on the evening afterwards, oh my God, it was horrible. It was so horrible. It was such a painful process for me to watch myself on TV because I was in between those well-spoken political experts who used these eloquent words. And then there was me in the middle with that accent and with the things the way I said.
Turns out, her accent, the one thing she was incredibly insecure about, the thing she thought was actually going to hold her back, the thing that left her wondering how people would judge her, is one of her biggest assets. She was at a holiday party with the producer of that show, and she shared her feelings and concerns and asked him, "Why do you keep bringing me back on the show?"
And he said something to me and I will never forget. And it was probably the biggest gift someone gave me in a professional environment. He said to me, "Sylvie, that's the reason we invite you." And I looked at him quite confused, obviously. And he explained and said, "You sound like an international expert and the others don't. And second, you say things so simple that every single person in front of the TV understands you, but they don't understand them." And so that gave me the strength that I can do whatever I want to do. And I had to learn that something that has been my biggest fear or has been holding me back turned into a huge asset. And when I now look into my clientele and into my audiences, I figured out that most often I get hired from international or for international audiences. Most often I get hired from big brands and companies with a very diverse workforce where it doesn't matter, where you don't have to have picture perfect English skills, right? And so I'm really, really, really grateful for that gift that that producer gave me that evening.
Turns out her anxiety and concern over her voice was causing more problems for her than just being with it. Because she was overly nervous, which led to over-memorizing her speech, which then was negatively impacting her stage performance.
I still prepare and I still try to do my best, but now I go out quite relaxed And I'm just my authentic me on the stage because the client already hired me. In fact, I walk out and one of the first things that I do for the audience is that I make a joke about myself and my accent, which always brings laughter. And it's like a release for them because they know, oh, she knows, right? She's aware of it. And she's aware of all the grammar errors that come on top of it. And I give them the gift of, I know that you know, and I want it to be out of the room.
Why is it so hard for us to see what other people see? And why is it often so difficult for us to trust when others try to reflect back to us what their perception is? This is a common go-to discussion with my clients. After all, it's my primary job to see them, really see them, and hold that sight with so much conviction until they can own it for themselves. And I will tell you, at least with my clients, when they come to me to get that support in taking their business to the next level, the challenge is not so much that they're lacking anything. It's that they're not seeing their superpowers and they've disconnected from them. They've been searching, digging, trying to figure out how to bust past that ceiling they're hitting. And I'm constantly reminding them, less searching, more seeing. I don't know how one becomes more of themselves without the feedback of a third party. We're just too close to ourselves sometimes to see it clearly. This is the entire basis for why I became an image consultant in the first place. Sometimes we need to borrow the vision from an outsider until we can step into it and fully own it for ourselves. I mean, I can't tell you how many clients were stuck in an image in a specific wardrobe of themselves that's 10 years earlier in their lifetime. Something that is no longer serving them, but once did. And they've evolved and they need someone outside of themselves to show them, hey, you're a different person. Actually, your strengths are this, and I don't think you quite realize it. But to even take that step, we must realize there is an outdated vision, a worldview you've perhaps constructed that's old, restricting, it's keeping you back. And you've been searching for clarity from inside this old, dusty vision. It takes an outsider to help you realize that sometimes, to believe that there's more to see here. And can you believe them when they tell you that? My first business, Mackenzie Image Consulting, went through several iterations before I realized it no longer served me. I operated under that title for 7 years, despite not being the main service provider in that business for the second half of it. I had passed most of the image consulting work off to my trained apprentice turned employee, Megan, who loved the image and styling work more than I ever would. And frankly, she's better at it at this point and was very quickly than I was. Hiring her to transition myself out of that specific kind of client work freed me up. It was exactly what I needed to do. I moved into this sort of project managerial role. When clients were coming to us for image, they were very quickly seeing and seeking transformation in other areas of their lives because they were sort of riding this transformational high that they were getting off of changing their image. So when a client came in, I was usually the first point of contact, and then I would pull from this Rolodex of these other service providers and business owners that I had met over the years, and I would help navigate them through this wider sphere of transformation. And I would help facilitate and navigate this process by making sure everything was done in the right order and we were pulling the right resources. And I still perform services myself, but a lot of what I was doing was knowing what the client was needing and what specialists they needed to talk to. Hiring Megan also freed me to go back to school because I was still craving what I was calling more depth in my work. So I pursued a graduate degree from Gonzaga University in communication and leadership, and I loved that program. Part of my reasoning for getting a graduate degree as an entrepreneur, which you don't see happen that often, is that it would open me up to potential speaking and teaching opportunities. But I was also wanting it for another reason. I had been getting more and more pick your brain emails, typically from women, wanting to do what I was doing. Because I came into image consulting at a very unique time period, I was one of the first in the industry to really bridge the gap effectively between online and offline image. Meaning I was working with clients on reputation management, on their first impression, on their image, not only in how they presented themselves in a live room, but also how they were effectively translating that and translating their credibility online. And because I was an early adopter to social media, I was one of the first image consulting companies to really have this large presence online at that time. At one point, I was averaging upwards of a dozen requests a month from women wondering how to get into the field. At first, I obliged them because honestly, I so genuinely wanted to pay it forward for all of those other mentors and image consultants who let me pick their brain that first year I was in business. But after a while, I just didn't have the time. I found myself saying the same things over and over and over to people. So out of pure necessity, I decided I would just hold one call a month, an informational call, where I would share this info with whoever was interested. This was my first taste, really, of scale, and it was on a very, very tiny level. I'm not even remotely looking at this as any sort of money-making opportunity. I'm busy in my business and all the other things I was involved with that I was not seeing what was happening here. Coincidentally, I'm out to lunch with a colleague, and she's telling me all about how she took this course online and how it was built out over WordPress. This was before e-courses were the thing they certainly are now, an incredibly mainstream. Before any third-party platforms had really taken off. Kajabi was founded this same year I was having this conversation. Prior to this, if you wanted to have any sort of membership or course site, it was custom built on WordPress, supported by like 82 different plugins, which was a back-end nightmare. Oh my gosh, I'm so glad those days are behind me. And so that lunch was an unexpected light bulb moment. And at this time, I had also been teaching myself coding out of necessity as well, but also I genuinely enjoyed that. And so I thought this would be a really fun challenge for me to figure out how to sell information in this course format on my WordPress site. So what I did is I took that monthly Pick Your Brain teleseminar, and I decided I would make it a more comprehensive 4-week introduction to image consulting course on my WordPress site. At that time, there was nothing in the industry between free information you could find about image consulting, which was subpar, and then the $5,000 or up certification programs. There was no middle ground for you to get into this industry. You either had to pay all that money, or you needed to just find a bunch of free info online and hope that people would respond to Pick Your Brain emails. No way for you to get your feet wet before making the leap to pay for a big expensive certification. So I saw a hole, I saw a need, and I built it. Besides the logistics of how to set it up, I did not look to any resources for how to design it, how to launch it. I mean, a lot of those resources didn't exist the way they did now. So I just went with hunches. I just was internally guided and I decided I would charge $197 for it. I pre-recorded all of the videos. They were terrible quality, but I put it up on my site. I ran it on a schedule. I ran it every other month. So every other month I ran it for 4 weeks. And I did it that way because I wanted people to feel a part of a group. I wanted them to feel like they weren't alone because that was important to me when I was moving through it. And this flowed. This flowed like it was my first year in business. Once it clicked, oh, there's an opportunity here. I moved on it. And it made my life easier because I had a place to direct all these emails that were coming in, all these people wanting to pick my brain. I now had something that I had built that I could direct them to. But I have to say, one of the best things I did for myself without even realizing it was just an intuitive move, was saving every single one of those Pick Your Brain emails in a special folder on my computer. Those emails had been coming in for at least 2 years. I started getting them actually my first year in business. I didn't know why. I didn't know if I'd ever do anything with them. I just knew there was just this feeling that I needed to save all of these emails. So when I launched the course, I had no MailChimp list. I had no opt-in freebie. I had none of that stuff. But then the light bulb went off. I remember sitting at my desk realizing what I had done for myself. I had found that whole folder of Pick Your Brain emails from warm leads who were wanting to do what I was doing. And it was not large by any means. It was not large. It was less than 100 people, but it was a start. So when I did my first round, when I first put out this Intro to Image Consulting e-course for $197, I had 20 people sign up. Just like that, from that little email list alone, no paid ads, no marketing, just an email announcing that, hey, I've created this resource. I think you'll really love it. My eyes had stars in them. Things started clicking for me here. I thought, this is what I've been looking for. I genuinely had no interest in the beginning going beyond that into any more suites of products for training image consultants. I just saw a very obvious hole. I frankly needed to solve it for myself because I couldn't respond to all these Pick Your Brain emails, but I genuinely wanted to give people information. So, you know, I built it for service. I built it because I saw an opportunity there. I had no desire to get into the certification business for several reasons. I had many ethical arguments that I was snagging myself on about it. I was feeling a lot of imposter syndrome again, like, who am I to certify people? I hadn't been in business but 3 years at this point, and it just didn't feel right, to be honest. Plus, there were so many other certification providers out there. I would rather help navigate people appropriately to existing organizations that were doing that. And let's be honest, the biggest thing that I wanted to scream at these people who were wanting to pick my brain, was that that certification means nothing. It is a no barrier to entry business. It literally does nothing for you. No client had ever once asked me what my credentials were. Not a single one. I can't remember, and I don't have those numbers saved anymore, but after about a year and a half of running this intro course, I had amassed about 200 attendees. And while they weren't emailing me to pick my brain anymore, they were now emailing me asking if I would certify them. I said no for quite some time, and I directed them to other people for about a year. I was more passionate about them getting the right business training, getting the right entrepreneurial skills so they could really have the success with it. What I knew was my experience moving through my certification that I paid all that money for, and as a result, witnessing 15 students where only one, me, went full-time with it after the course. I remember being like, how in the world did these people spend all this money and not do anything with it? And I knew it was because although we were trained on the technical aspects of image services, there was very little support for how to actually take that to market. So I was more interested in what I thought was way more important for my audience to know, how to actually build the business, not just perform the services. So I focused on evolving my little intro course into this membership community. It was my first membership community where I could provide them with more tools and more resources in a business capacity. And I was super excited about this. But once I launched that membership site, I hit some friction. People were still buying the intro course. They were loving it, but they were not buying the membership. I was getting feedback and engagement on the product itself, but there was no conversion. I mean, very, very little conversion. And I had had this huge, shiny online launch party for it. I did this fancy live stream. This was before live streams were a thing. I was sitting there with champagne. I was getting all this engagement. I had all these people on the feed that were seemingly excited about it. And it was like pulling teeth to get people to pay a $500 annual membership fee. It was flowing so strongly, and it felt like it just all of a sudden came to this huge halt. All I wanted to do was prove to them that this is what you really needed if you really wanted to be successful in the industry. Not just the training on how to perform the consults. So let's break this apart from a being perspective, because that's what really stalled up here. I had moved from this light, sort of detached place with the whole concept to this very heavy proving energy. That was my first problem. Second, I was not owning my value. I was now in imposter syndrome, but in a different sort of way than before. Feeling like because I didn't have the years of experience under my belt, and who knows when I thought I would feel qualified, like what that year amount was, but because I wasn't there, I didn't feel I was qualified to teach. Both of these things were preventing me from doing what I had every right to do and what was being constantly asked of me by this audience, to build out a more comprehensive certification program. I mean, this is how warped my sense of self was. I had completed a graduate degree in communication and leadership. I had crafted my entire research thesis and project around building credibility online through image and through image management. I was published academically for this work, and I had been working full-time in the image field for almost 5 years. No one in my field had these unique credentials, and I still didn't think I was qualified to be teaching this stuff. One day, in frustration, I had reached out to a colleague to look at this membership site, hoping he could tell me what I was doing wrong and why it was so hard for me to get conversions with this product, despite having all this engagement around it. And again, a simple and terribly obvious question caused the lightning strike. He just looked at me and he said, "Well, what are they getting after they work their way through the membership site?" And it hit me. No one's buying because they had imposter syndrome too. Even though I had all the resources they needed to have a successful company, because it was not packaged as a certification, they weren't biting. And I stepped back into where I was when I first got started and started remembering how important that sheet of paper with the word certification on it was to me. It's what made me feel confident. It's what made me feel credible enough to get out there. So then I thought, well, if that's what they're looking for, gosh, I can empathize with that. I was there too. If that's what will make them feel confident, I'll stop side-eyeing the idea of certification and I will meet them where they're at. So I essentially took everything in that membership site and I reworked it into the industry's first 6-week online comprehensive technical and business building program. No one was really teaching online because of the very nature of the work. It's obviously conducive to classroom training, but I knew there could be a workaround even for those very in-person services and very in-person subjects like color analysis and performing a closet edit. I didn't care that I had just done this massive, shiny, public launch for this membership and it was failing, which I also at the time revealed and launched under a new business name, the Studio for Image Professionals. It hurt a little bit to literally tear it all down and rebuild it. Yeah, I mean, I cared a little bit, I'll be honest, but I did it. 3 months later, after rebuilding the whole damn thing, I launched again, but this time as a certification program. And you know what? It did $20,000 in 2 weeks. So here I was banging my head against the wall for $500 and $20,000 just flowed. I was simultaneously so excited yet so annoyed. I thought, are you kidding me? That's all I had to do? Just give way to it? Just stop trying to force my proving energy on it? I now had two companies, McKenzie Image Consulting, predominantly managed by Megan, and I had the Studio for Image Professionals. Because I was feeling more in flow with the studio, I pivoted most of my focus over there. So the timing of bringing Megan on could not have been more beautiful. I had run the initial certification program 2 rounds before realizing that if I was really going to do this, if I really wanted to hit the full landscape of the industry, meaning although I had the experience in personal image consulting, I had very little experience in corporate image consulting. And if I really wanted to scale this, I was going to need someone to help support that arm of it, because in no way would I ever teach something that I had little experience with. Even if I could do it, I just ethically would never teach on it. Now, before I tell you the magic that happened next, it's worth taking a pause to remind you of that metaphysical bucket that I kept off to the side in my life. That bucket full of interest that was growing, by the way, bigger and bigger. I had not only been now doing years of work with my energy healer, my intuition was also growing stronger as a result of me doing a lot more of the inner work with my coaches, and my dreams were becoming more and more prophetic. And I started realizing my gifts for manifestation, for a lack of a better word. They were always there, but I was starting to witness my unique way of acquiring things that I needed. I had this way of calling things in, whether that be fun things like free first-class airline tickets, or it was services that I was needing, or certain tools, certain resources, just the right things at the right time would appear. And I had a pattern of this in my life. And so I wasn't practicing any of the typical like law of attraction things. I stayed pretty far away from The Secret, which was all the rage at the time. I wasn't directing power at this process. I was just being. And one of my greatest manifestations was a business partner for the studio. I knew what I wanted in order to have the impact I wanted to have with these students. I had to have a very specific hit list. And so I wrote it down in my journal. And what I wrote down was, number one, someone who was exclusively a corporate image consultant. Number two, someone who was as tech savvy as I was. Number three, someone who understood the importance of an online presence. Number four, someone who knew the back end of WordPress like I did. And number five, someone who lived in New York. Something I figured I'd just throw on the list because if I was going to place this universal order, why not get exactly what I wanted? And I wanted a business partner in New York City. I didn't do anything with this list. I just wrote down this would be awesome to have. I had enough on my plate to stay busy. I did no searching, not nothing, no searching for any sort of business partner. 2 weeks later, Megan and I are in the office and she says, I just got this tweet from Sylvie DGG something. And she wants to set a meeting up with you. It was Sylvie DiGiusto, a corporate image consultant with this awesome online presence. And she was my biggest competitor. And guess where she lived? New York City. We were both pretty aware of who the other players were in the market. And unknowingly, we both had this sort of lone wolf experience in the image consulting industry. We were each separately doing work in the field that was on a totally different level than what you typically saw at the time.
Only person that I actually found on the market where I thought, oh my God, she is good. She better stays down there in South Carolina because I own New York City and everything beyond was actually you. I found you somewhere on the internet. I just stumbled over your work and was just so, so impressed that I gave you the label of being probably my biggest competitor on the market because you were innovative and you were creative and you obviously had a different perspective on that industry, which was very much alike with mine.
We got on Skype and it was like a star exploding. Not only was she exclusively corporate, based in New York City with this awesome online presence, she was as tech savvy as I was. She had a background in tech and she knew WordPress better than I did. We were on a plane 2 weeks later to meet in person in Boston. It honestly didn't even cross my mind that we were competitors. I was too busy in the receiving of what I had just called in for myself and my audience and in amazement of how this could be. And who cares, right? If she's a competitor, all moves are the right moves. I feel like I called her in. I asked Sylvie what prompted her to reach out.
The reality is, I think at this point, I was just so frustrated with that old-fashioned perspective on the market on image consulting and so relieved that in that sea of people draping each other's necks with color drapes, right, I found somebody who seemed to have a similar purpose and similar perspective on our work that is very, very important and what value we can bring to individuals. And I just wanted to share it with you. And I mean, when you go back and read that email, basically I just told you how awesome you are. And I just wanted you to know that I exist. I'm out there in the universe and I have a similar thought process like you.
I want to hover here for a second. You realize what my biggest competitor at the time just told me is that she was more interested in sharing our unique views of the industry together than competing. This is a result of both Sylvie and I just being. I tell my clients to get out of competition all the time. Get out of competition. It doesn't serve you, I say. Stay in your lane. Stay fired up about what you're passionate about. The right people, clients, collaborators, partners, they'll find you. And the faster you honor your path, the faster these things can come through.
You said something to me that I will never forget. You said, if you are so frustrated about the status of this industry and what people deliver to clients, and I am too, maybe it's up on us to change it.
When Sylvie and I met, I immediately saw an opportunity to collaborate. Sylvie was there as well, but she had a few other priorities at the time that she felt she had to give precedence to. So we didn't combine forces under the studio until at least a year later.
One of the words that comes up again and again and again when I self-describe me is competitive. I'm actually very, very, very competitive. I always want to be number one. Place two is never good enough for me. So it was a huge learning lesson for me to actually accept maybe I'm not number one, maybe I'm not number two, maybe we share a spot, maybe I team up with my biggest competitor to use both superpowers as we did with our skill sets and create something bigger with a bigger purpose than just my own business.
You know what the coolest part about this was? When we would get emails from our students saying, oh my gosh, I was looking at both of your programs and having such a hard time deciding who to pick. And then you guys came out in a partnership, so now I get to have the both of you. While we are both so proud of what we built together and being able to say we've certified people in more than 35 countries worldwide feels really good, I know there was a bigger purpose to this, almost as if the studio was not a final destination, but yet another stepping stone as well. I asked Sylvie what she thought the higher purpose of us coming together so effortlessly really was.
I think the bigger purpose is to learn everything is possible. Even if on the books, a lot of people would have probably back then told us that is not a wise decision. We didn't even have books afterwards. We just said everything is possible and we're gonna give it a try. And the fact that two of the biggest competitors on the market joined forces and created something beautiful is just proof that everything is possible if you just give it a try.
Everything is possible. You can't trust in things working out if you're shut down to possibility. Sylvie and I have a natural flow. We know where to push and we know where to just be. We know where to lead and we also know where to follow. We individually know when to stand our ground because what one of us was feeling was right, and we also knew to trust when the other person was feeling that in such conviction. Where might you be holding back because you've closed those doors on possibility? I've said in an earlier episode, the universe seeks to make you right. If you don't think it's possible, you're right. If you think having debt is bad, you're right. If you think you're a bad spouse, you're right. If you think making money is hard, you're right. If you think it's a lot of work, you're right. Part of being a person of possibility is deciding what you want to be right about and holding it with conviction and dropping your rightness over things that ultimately don't serve you. Personally, I don't want to be right that making money is hard, so I let that go. I don't want to be right that I have to make major sacrifices to do what I love, so I also let that go. I even let go of needing to be right that I have to show up consistently on social media for revenue to come in. And as a result, I just make money, whether I'm on social media or not. So the real question is, what do you want to be right about? More to come on Just Being. SVB here. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Just Being and that you'll be continuing along this journey with us in the next episode. In the meantime, I have pulled something from my personal toolbox and posted it for you over at my website on shaunavanbogart.com. You will definitely want this in your back pocket. It is for tapping into your truth quickly and getting unstuck fast. It is my personal 3-sentence journaling hack that I use on a regular basis that helps me get really clear, feel better, and attract what I really want. It's to help me get out of my head and into motion and into inspired action as fast as possible. You can find this tool over at shaunavanbogart.com/get light. Just Being is produced by Jeremy Enns and the team at Counterweight Creative. Special thanks to Sarah Ashman and her team, Shauna Hayter, Michael Weston, and Kelly Elizabeth for making this labor of love look and feel as beautiful as I felt creating it. And to my right-hand woman, Jess Butler, for always keeping me in line.